Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. After acting in scripted series created by others, from Queen of the South to SEAL Team, David Bianchi has created his own saga, Razor, spelled R-Z-R. It's playing on a very unique outpost, Gala Film, that right now is not running on smart TV sets, device, or multi-channel bundles. Will it? We'll find out when David Bianchi joins me next. American Rust, the Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney starring drama that Showtime put out to pasture, returned on Prime Video last month for Season 2, subtitled Broken Justice. We'll connect later this hour with executive, producer, and Boat Rocker Media senior executive, Nick Nantel. Also forthcoming, Estella Media's new landlord, daytime Emmy nominations, and our new classic trivia winner, our very first of 2024. At last. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Media, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and presented on iHeart Radio Podcast Network and 45 other great podcast destinations. This just in, it's Friday afternoon, and tomorrow will be televised. Today's program is brought to you by Wild, reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Happy to have you with us wherever you are across the country, around the world, for the program about TV's current and future. Great day in store here in the Big Apple. Rain is out. Skies are cloudy, but it's still pretty nice. 53 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's get you involved in the program. Some wonderful guests over the next hour and change, and you are invited to take part. How? Pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you catch us across the country on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, or TuneIn Radio. And we've got our Chapman business. Snowman James is already in the room. He's got the yellow thumbs up, plus a couple of hearts, too. We do appreciate it. And if you'd like to join him, you go to blogtalkradio.com/televised and check out the chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. And we will check in with Razor, spelled R-Z-R's, creator and co-star David Bianchi, will join us live from California after these news notes. One of New York City's top radio station owners once in as a national player in multicultural television. MediaCo Holdings' initial step in that direction is owning Spanish-language channel organization Estrella Media. By the way, for those who don't know, MediaCo are the folks behind such things as WBLS and Hot 97. Estrella's array of services, Estrella TV, Estrella News, Estrella Games, and Cine Estrella TV, that's movies Estrella TV, are now MediaCo properties, while Estrella's TV and radio stations will operate independently. Peter Markham stays on as Estrella Media's chief executive officer, while MediaCo welcomes an interim holder of that role, former Telemundo chief operating officer and recent Estrella board member, Jacqueline Hernandez. Nominations for Daytime Emmy Awards 51 came out a few hours ago. Six contenders for Best Daytime Drama are The Bay, Days of Our Lives, The Bold and the Beautiful, Neighbors, that's from Australia on Amazon Freebie, General Hospital, and The Young and the Restless. Other nominated series include The Jennifer Hudson Show, Entertainment Tonight, What Am I Eating, Hot Bench, Fixer the Fabulous, and George the Rescue. CBS will serve up the Daytime Emmys live from Los Angeles on June 7th. Now quickies, Rick Hyde will give up one of his two showrunner roles at Dick Wolf Executive Produced Scripted Procedural. He's had his sixth season tenure on FBI. He was there from the start on CBS. And he's moving into season 24 of Law & Order. Plus, he'll develop new series for Dick Wolf. Cat Williams' third Netflix comedy special will be a live one on May 4th. Woke 4, that's F-O-R-E, will run direct from the YouTube Theater in California as part of the 12-day Netflix of the Joke Comedy Festival. Brent Miller, Norman Lear's production teammate in Act 3 for the final decade and change of his life, will launch his own venture, A House on Brain Productions. Miller will continue to have a first-look development connection with Sony Pictures Television and with Lear's final TV series work, Clean Slate for Amazon Freebie and The Corpse at Netflix. And be on the lookout for Pickleball Paddle Battle, where indoor pickleball players get an opportunity to win professional status. Giga Studios, which does Switch on GSN, or Game Show Network, is putting the series together with the Pickleball Kingdom Centers around the nation. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live from Los Angeles is the creator and the co-star of the new 15-minute per episode TV series Razor, spelled R-Z-R, running on website Gala Film, David Bianchi. David, happy to have you here.
Happy to be here, Simon. Thanks for bringing me on. How are you today?
Very, very fine. Thank you, David. So after so many years of acting in so many shows, like as I mentioned, the top Queen of the South, which ran a good while on USA Network, SEAL Team on CBS and Paramount+, why'd you decide, hey, time is right for me to do my own thing?
Well, you know, it kind of actually started the other way around. I mean, I first came to Los Angeles back in 2004 with a theater degree, and I was convinced that Hollywood was waiting for me, but boy, was I proven wrong. And so, you know, I ended up producing my very first short film in 2005 in L.A. anyways. And so since 2005, I've been producing independent film to give myself opportunities as an actor. People always say, you know, how do you get your foot in the door? And I always say, well, what door are you talking about? Just build a frame and walk through it. That's always been my ethos. And so now flash forward, you know, 20 years of producing, I've now produced 6 feature films, more short films than I can count. And Razor is the culmination of my vision starting back in 2004 when I landed in Los Angeles to create opportunities for myself as an actor. And that's exactly why I ended up picking up the knife as a producer. Whereas sometimes in other ways, just like you just described, you'll take like Bradley Cooper, Matthew McConaughey, some of these headlining guys that will come up as actors, gain star power, and then say, wait a second, I want to be able to control my own narrative, and then they become producers.
Mm-hmm. And your program, by the way, has a lot of themes to it. Explain it, because it's like a mix of various concepts from artificial intelligence, AI, to hacker culture, and even wonderful black market crime.
Yeah, it is. You know, when I was envisioning Razor, I wanted to create a series that would look and feel like something I would want to watch, that had elements of cyberpunk, elements of Mr. Robot, of Black Mirror, of Children of Men. You know, I produced a cinematic series that's compartmentalized as an episodic, right? I always laugh jovially at what I call kinema, TV trying to be cinema. And Razor is absolutely cinema first, and it's delivered in a TV mechanism. So to your point, it takes you deep into this world of neural implants, hacker culture, black market crime in this alternative dystopian Los Angeles, this area called the Grid Zone, where cash is obsolete and everything is done through cryptocurrency and transactions happen on chain. And to your point about artificial intelligence, the lead character, Grimm, who is the role that I play, develops a brain implant through some self-craniotomies, allows him to access the World Wide Web instantaneously, download and trigger that information in a nanosecond. So imagine Neuralink technology, you know, times 10,000 to the degree of power that it might have. And that can make someone either infinitely dangerous, infinitely good.
You mentioned a number of very popular series influences on this series, like Black Mirror, like Mr. Robot. Does your series contain like little tributes, like little asides to those shows?
Well, I definitely think the notion of hacker culture is obviously taken from Mr. Robot. But what I love about Mr. Robot and what Sam Eshmal did with that show is that he created a TV series that felt very grounded, like cinema. So performance-wise and circumstances, there's elements of that. When I think about cyberpunk, I describe the art direction and the production design and the world build. You know, if I talk about Black Mirror, the themes from Black Mirror are that the technology that you see in Razor are set in a contemporary environment, so they feel dangerously close. And let's be honest, some of the technological tropes that we talk about probably are being developed right now as we speak. So those are some of the similarities where you might see with those intellectual properties.
Mm-hmm. What makes your series very notable, David, is that you've been able to get some really top talents to do this. You've got somebody like Mina Savari. We all know her from co-starring in the Oscar-winning film American Beauty. You've got one of the co-stars of Mayans MC, Emilio Rivera, and you got Danny Jejo, who's like one of the great genre actors of all time. And you also have somebody who, believe it or not, 9 years ago really burst on the TV scene in what I believe is ABC's best drama since NYPD Blue and Still is American Crime that John Ridley created. His name is Richard Cabral. He won an Emmy nomination for the role. John was very big on the idea of a repertory theater to do all 3 seasons of the show, including people like Felicity Huffman, Timothy Hutton, and so on and so forth, Binda Martinez. What was it like to gather all of these super talents and have them buy into your vision?
Well, I tell you, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, we've been able to really attract some Hollywood giants. I'm a big fan of John Ridley's work, and I've been following Richard Cabral's career for a while. We were both on a show called Southland many, many years ago, starring Regina King. And so I always follow the ethos of, you know, Simon, if it's not on the page, it's not on the stage. You know, and even me as an actor, when things cross my desk for my team, if I'm not familiar with the film or the title, there's a few things I always ask. who's directing, who's producing, who's the DP. Those are things I always look for. And then if I acknowledge the talent there, then I want to read the script. And I was able to attract this talent primarily through my casting director, Claire Koontz, who is widely known for casting a show called Beef. She brought Mina and the show to Mina's attention, and Mina read the script and was like, this is fantastic. I absolutely want to do this. And, you know, we didn't have Amazon or Hulu or studio level budgets. I mean, all things considered, we had a micro budget compared to what the big boys play with. And so this wasn't about paying off the house. This is just about Mina seeing the power of the world that we built on the page. And Richard is also the same. You know, we went through the traditional casting process, you know, submitting offers and so on and so forth. Individuals like Emilio Rivera, I've been friends with him for over a decade. We were in a movie together called Philly Brown that went to Sundance that made Gina Rodriguez a star. And then Danny Trejo, I've worked with Danny a couple of times, so I had an existing relationship there. But to bring them all together to create this beautiful powerhouse world, that to me was a dream come true, but just a testament to my team, my experience as a producer, but most importantly, the words that are on the script.
Razor, which is spelled RZR, you can't find on TV yet, is a TV series. It's running on a website called Gala Film. Will it become a series you might get on smart TV sets, smart device, and multi-channel bundles? We'll talk about that a little bit later on. With David Bianchi, he is the co-star and the creator of this series, which premiered this week, as a matter of fact, early this week on Gala Film. And he joins us live from Los Angeles, half hour, right here, exclusively, on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Alban with you live from the other side of the U.S. of A, New York, 53 degrees at the top of the hour. Let's hear you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Next episodes will be coming your way next Monday and Friday at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And coming up in our second half of today's program, we will be joined also from the L.A. area by Nick Nantel. He is the executive producer of American Rust, Broken Justice. American Rust was a series that started on Showtime, co-starring Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney, and then Showtime canceled it. But guess what? It got back on its feet earlier this year, actually a month ago, on Amazon Prime Video, where you can see it now. And we'll talk to Nick about that. He's also an executive with the company that makes the show, Boat Rocker Media, acclaimed for such programs as Orphan Black, the upcoming Orphan Black Echoes, which will be running in June on AMC and AMC+, Beacon 21, which we featured on this very program last year with one of its major showrunners, Glenn Mazar, of Walking Dead fame and so forth. So we'll be talking to Nick about what's happening with American Rust and other Boat Rocker programs in our next half hour. David, why did you, first of all, before we get to why you picked Gala Film to showcase Razor, what was it like to produce the show and be on that side of the camera? Where did you film? Did you film it all in L.A. or other parts or beyond the metro area? How did you get it together?
Sure, great question. Razor's one of the hardest things I ever had to do. You know, being the creator, co-writer, executive producer, and also one of the logistical producers alongside Noelle Hubble, and she's got, you know, 50 episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and she was a production manager on Superstore and also was production coordinators on movies like Rustin and Don't Worry, Darling. So we had a really incredible team. But, you know, we shot lean and mean. We shot 7 pages a day. So for anyone that knows, that's really, really aggressive. And so that means I got about 2 or 3 takes. So, you know, we got an average crew size of about 100 people, and we shot around Los Angeles, and there was zero room for error. And, you know, at the end of the day, once it's on screen, I don't get any concessions. Nobody cares how aggressive it was or how hard it was. Either the performance works or it doesn't. And that really boils down to trust. I needed to trust my DP, Matt Plaxico, trust my operators, my focus pullers, my props, wardrobe, grip, electric. Every department I knew had to be firing at all pistons to give me the trust to shut down the producer brain and immerse myself into the world of Grimm. And, you know, Grimm's character is that he's an addict, and he's very subdued. And so I had every single scene, I had a numerical value in my phone that told me, where is Grimm? What is his mental state? How lucid is he? How high is he? So I could keep the consistent performance throughout. And so it was really, really challenging. It was, one of the hardest things I ever had to do. And I'm just really, really enthralled that people are seeing it and they're just so drawn to it. The reviews have been ecstatic and unanimously have been fantastic. And episodes 1 and 2 are now available on Gala Film.
Mm-hmm. More about Gala Film in a moment. But first, how did you determine, given the world you created here, where you were going to shoot in Los Angeles and how you were going to showcase, for example, maybe the hot tech theme of the moment, which is artificial intelligence, AI?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, those are interesting questions. As far as the where and the why, as an independent filmmaker, my journey through film has always been not having money and how do you make money work. So going into that, one of the key cardinal rules of independent filmmaking is write for what you have, not for what you want, right? And so I've been producing around town for a while. So there's a great studio called Willow Street Studios downtown LA. I love those guys, owned by a guy named Crazy Gideon, who you probably know from the 80s. And, you know, I co-wrote the script with my writer, Daniel J. Pico, to basically work for the resources that we had at our fingertips. You know, Grimm is basically a bit of a Batman. You know, he's got his bat cave, he lives in the shadows, and he's very anonymous, and he does his high-tech, compromising hacker work, and the silences and in the in-betweens. And so we chose to shoot around L.A. because we just didn't really have the budget to do it anywhere else, right? And also all of our resources and our tentacles are in Los Angeles. So that was the main reason, you know, why we shot in L.A. and why we shot it the way that we did.
Mm-hmm. What does the series say about artificial intelligence? Does it give a negative tone, optimistic tone, mixed thoughts? What is the message about AI's role in our culture, in our society, that you want to say here?
Sure. And it's funny because when I was writing the show, AI, blockchain, I work heavily in NFTs, Web3, and blockchain. That's just part of the culture that I'm in around technology and cinema. And so a lot of the tropes that are in the show, I wasn't making them fictitiously. This is language that I use every single day with my colleagues. And so I could not have predicted that by the time we released the show, you know, Sora and AI would become this massive thing that it has become. You know, when I started making it, like, Midjourney was barely a thing, and ChatGPT was kind of just barely a thing. In fact, it was still in beta. And so I just sort of envisioned that these things were going to be coming into place, but I didn't think it was going to have the explosion that it's having now. As far as what we're saying with AI is that, you know, Grimm's journey as a protagonist is the hero's journey. You know, he's an everyday guy who's a bit of a flawed character, and you root for him because thematically he wants to make the world a better place. And that's why he decides to create this technology, because he believes that this acumen can give him the power to bring down tyrants and evil infrastructures to make the world a better place. But it ends up reaping more chaos than he could have imagined. And one of the themes that we talk about in the show is, you know, what is the moral compass when you are infinitely powerful? And Grimm's journey is still trying to make the world a better place while he's trying to be the lesser of evil amongst a den of thieves. And so the question that we ask ourselves is AI dangerous, or is it dangerous in the hands of the wielder? In other words, this implant would do interesting things in the brain of the Pope, but would do very different things in the brain of Saddam Hussein or Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm. So with all the places that you could have to distribute this series, why Gala Film? Why these folks?
Sure. And really quick to finish, I guess I just had a quick thought, is that, like, is AI good or bad? I think that AI is good for the progress of humanity. I really, really do. And when AI can reach singularity, then maybe we're in trouble. I also think that there's a very, very big fear of artificial intelligence and autonomous AI in the military sector. That is where it gets very, very critically dangerous. And, you know, there's been talk of extinction level events all the way to the Senate. So we can't disregard that either. But I believe that AI is helping humanity the same way that the tractor trailer did. You know, everybody was afraid of that, and it turned out we're still doing okay. As far as Gala Film is concerned, I have to applaud Gala Film. One, because they're a brand new platform, and Razer is the first title to drop on their platform. And they're an incredible platform that is basically artist forward. I'll tell you what's great about this is that they brought me in and they said, David, what would you like to do? I pitched them the project of Razer, and they said, great, let's get to it. And they gave me creative provenance. In other words, I had the creative control to write the script I wanted to write, cast who I wanted to cast, hire my own team. I was able to shoot without any oversight, and I was able to deliver the show that I wanted to deliver with Final Cut control. And so you can't get that anywhere else in Hollywood. It is completely It is completely unorthodox to do that in Hollywood nowadays. But Gala gave me the trust to be able to create the show that I wanted to create with literally like no big brother over my shoulder. So that was number one. Number two, it's also a Web3 platform. So all digital collectibles and NFTs are available on the ecosystem, and we've created an entirely new immersive exchanging the game on how to consume media and cinema moving forward. So you'll be able to watch the episodes, and if you decide to get into the digital side of things, you can collect shards, and for the first time in Hollywood history, a user will be able to own moments and actually own an entire scene of Hollywood-produced motion picture. And then in turn, we've created a watch and earn model. So as you watch and as you collect, you will earn rewards to your Web3 wallet in cryptocurrency. These things have never been done before. Above and beyond that, Simon, this is really going to blow you away. I shot the entire 8 episodes, and then when we were done, I went back in and wrote 40 more pages of immersive content that is outside of the traditional narrative. So you could see two people arguing on your screen, and then you could suddenly collect shards to unlock a scene of someone in that moment crying to you in a vlog or in a first-person chat, intercepted phone calls, forensic data. This is all stuff that is in the immersive experience within Gala Film that you can't get anywhere else in Hollywood.
And I believe it's called Mystery Boxes.
Yeah, they're called Mystery Boxes, exactly. So we're literally gamifying the viewing experience. And so you'll collect a mystery box. You open it up just like a lottery scratch-off. You might get maybe some Razor merch. You might get a shard to help you collect an unlockable scene. You might get access to have a conversation with the showrunner. You might get access to speak to a cast member. There's a variety of things that come out of these mystery boxes. And it's an amazing way to build fandom and to build lore and connectedness to a world that otherwise feels so far away.
You're hearing David Bianchi this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, a promo about TV's current and future. He is the co-star and creator of Razor, spelled RZR. It's running on the website Gala Film, which is a Web3 and blockchain platform. And in a moment, we're going to ask, could this become a TV platform on smart TV sets and smart TV devices? So if you have a question or comment in our main minutes with David, make the call. He joins us live from Los Angeles here on TWBT. And, of course, in order to do the call, it's 646-652-2906. We have a call coming up. We're going to take it in a moment. Again, coming up in our next half hour, we will be joined in the Los Angeles area by Nick Mantel. He is not only Executive Vice President at Boat Rocker Media, which makes so many good scripted series, he is also the Executive Producer of American Rust, Broken Justice, now playing on Prime Video. And don't forget, we're going to unveil our first Classic Trivia Segment winner of 2024 at last. That's also coming up in our next half hour. David, let's take a call. Hello, you're on Tomorrow Be Televised. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Simon, it's Rick Webb calling from Philadelphia.
Rick, happy to
have
you, and you're on the line with David.
Hey, David. I just watched the trailer, and I noticed that it's very anamorphic, I describe it as, like the way it's filmed with anamorphic lenses. And I love that. I have a few anamorphic lenses myself. So it might be asking too much to ask what actual lenses you guys use, but I did want to ask, like in editing and all, were there any like problems with the using anamorphic lenses? Like, did you lose any shots? Like some of the shots in the trailer were amazing. Like some of the bloom and the flares and all, I loved it. So I just wanted to say I love the look. Kudos to your cinematographer, and just wanted to know like what your take on it was.
Well, that's a great question. I'm so happy that you asked that question because, you know, I'm sometimes much more of a producer than I am an actor. So we shot on the Alexa 35. And so we shot in January 2023. So at this point, the Alexa 35 was still in beta. It wasn't at public sale. I wouldn't say public beta, but it wasn't available for public sale. And the lenses we use are indeed anamorphic, and they're Zelmus anamorphics, and that's spelled X-E-L-M-U-S. They're beautiful, beautiful anamorphics with this very sophisticated bouquet, and just the way that it treats light density and color temperatures are just really, really phenomenal. Because we didn't want to go with, you know, refurbished anamorphics because we didn't want an older look. We wanted a sort of slick, modern, contemporary look, but we needed a bouquet that was going to be that would offer brilliance but not detract from the story, right? We didn't want to go like full Michael Mann, you know? You know, we wanted to kind of have a really sophisticated sci-fi bouquet. And my DP is Matt Plaxco, P-L-A-X-C-O. He's such a legend. And as far as editorial is concerned, you know, my DIT was really, really a pro. So as far as and our assistant editors, I mean, de-squeezing and all that kind of stuff, to the best of my knowledge, it wasn't a challenge. I even allowed all my directors to basically deliver their own edited versions from proxies. And then we took those editorial timelines and then we tweaked them. I tweaked them to sort of my liking and then we just went from there. I'm really
awesome.
Glad you like it. By the way, let me also tell you this, guys, for anybody that's listening, the cool thing about Gala Film is that it's free. Like, literally it's free. No AVOD, no TVOD, no SVOD, no paywalls. There is no ad slicks. You're not going to get distracted with a pre-roll. You set up an account with your email address, and you literally click watch. It's literally that simple.
Cool. Well, I'm going to recommend it to a few friends of mine who I know love it and love Anamorphic and such, and continue success. Thanks for answering my question, David.
My pleasure. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Simon. Have a great weekend.
You too, Rick. All the greatest. Rick Webb, our super fan from Philadelphia, joining us here live on Tomorrow Be Televised. David, we're now at a point where 90% of all U.S. households have smart TV sets and devices, and the majority of them now have artificial intelligence software built in, whether it's ChatGPT, generative AI, whatever, that allows you to do all sorts of things interactive with the television set, using your voice, a voice remote. In the case of games, you don't need a PlayStation or a Xbox, a console on the set. You do it with a joystick. And it looks like we are now getting into an interactive era where you have interactive advertising, interactive programming, shoppable ads, and so forth. With that, why not Gala Film becoming a service that's available, Web3, blockchain, and all, that you could access on your smart television set or smart device or on a multi-channel bundle where it can remain free and do what you want to do, including the Web3 and blockchain NFT features?
Simon, it's a great question, and I will say this, is that there are indeed long-term roadmap plans to be able to have an app eventually so it will be accessible via the Apple Store, et cetera, but we are a new platform, right? And, you know, steady as she goes, you know, Netflix started with DVDs, and eventually they turned it into House of Cards and so on and so forth. So we are literally just launching technology that's never been built before. We literally have proprietary rights over this stuff. And so, you know, knowing that we are going to make mistakes, but we're doing a lot more right than we are wrong. And, you know, the financial proposition around Gala is like, how do you make money? Well, it is in the mystery boxes and digital collectibles. If we draw people to television sets as they stand now, that breaks the connectivity to our Gala chain ecosystem. And so I think that eventually that will indeed happen because if we follow the gaming model, if you look at games like Fortnite, for example, it's a huge, huge game and it's free. But what happens is the top 3% of gamers are so voracious that they spend enough money to cover the nut for the bottom 97%. And so we are creating content for fandom. We're creating content for people that are huge genre fans that want to buy into what we're doing, right? The people that bought the lightsaber and the poster and bought the Jabba the Hutt, those are the people that we want, right? We're not making content for the masses yet. We're making them for fandom. We're making for people that are really core believers. And so in that respect, the other thing, too, is that, you know, blockchain technology is still very, very, very niche and not widely adopted. I think in the next 5 to 10 years, blockchain tech will be somehow the back of the house of every single information system we operate from. It's like, hey, when I go to Ticketmaster, I buy a ticket. I don't buy JavaScript, right? But JavaScript is behind it. And so that's kind of where we have to get to, where when blockchain has become more and more mass adopted, these workflows will become a lot more technologically easier to lift.
Mm-hmm. What's next for you, David? A second season of Razor, a new series for Gala Film? Because after all, you are bringing them into the era of series as well as individual films and short films, features and short films on their service.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, right now, this is a great way to introduce it, is we are actually in the middle of an Emmy campaign as well. I've been a member of the Television Academy for 7 years, and so we are also launching a campaign for Best Short Form Drama or Comedy for the 76 Primetime Emmys, and on May 14th, we're going to have a huge four-year consideration screening at the Television Academy. So that is in conjunction with the release. We have already built the treatment and have a 15-page graphic novel for season two. So season two is already in the works. And while Razor blows up, I'm pretty convinced that higher levels of Hollywood are going to come looking for me. So we'll see what God wills, Simon. You never know. One thing I've learned about Hollywood is I try not to live in the speculation. I'm standing here today with a great show, and that's where my heart is, and that's where I'm 120%.
The show is Razor, spelled R-Z-R, and if you want to check it out, here's where you go online. It's Gala Films website, which is Web3 and blockchain, and it's film, F-I-L-M, .gala.com. That's film, .gala.com. Razor, spelled R-Z-R, now playing. David Bianchi, the co-star and creator of the program, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on getting this breakthrough show on the air, and hopefully not too far down the road, that Gala Film and your series will be available to more and more people through smart set devices and multi-channel bundles. It seems that this whole world of interactivity, Web3, TV, all coming together, maybe sooner than we think.
Absolutely. And Simon, it's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome, David. Take care. Congratulations, and have a super weekend.
You too.
David Bianchi joining us live from Los Angeles. When we come back, staying in California, Nick Nantel, the executive producer of Prime Video series American Rust, Broken Justice, and key executive at its producer, Boat Rocker Media. We'll join us live after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, sugar.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Have you ever wondered about the people who did the voice on the Flintstones? Believe it or not, they had careers in the 1940s and 50s in the golden age of radio drama. And you can hear some of that tonight on this episode of Eerie House. Today is 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific. It's your place to hear great old-time suspense radio, this time featuring some of the people like Alan Reed and Mel Blanc and others who did the Flintstones later on. Eerie House's Meet the Flintstone episode today, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, that's BTR always 24/7. On YouTube. Welcome back to more Tamabi Televised on this Friday afternoon, the 19th of April, 2024. Tommy Alba with you live from New Haven, New York, 53 degrees at the bottom of the hour. Let's hear you. Give us a call with our next guest in the time ahead. That number you use, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name, our good friend Snowman James, already in the room. My next guest serves two functions. Number one, he is one of the key executives of Boat Rocker Media, a production company that has given us a lot of great shows over the years, like Orphan Black, and the upcoming Orphan Black Echoes, premiering in June on AMC and AMC+. And Beacon 21, which we covered on this program last year, is going into a second season, I believe, on MGM+. Well, now they have brought back a show that originally was on Showtime, and then it was canceled by them. And it came back last month as American Rust, Broken Justice, co-starring Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney. Joining us live from Studio City, California, executive producer and executive at Boat Rocker Media, Nick Nantel. Nick, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me, Simon. Excited to be here.
Nick, so far, first, what's been the reaction to the second season of American Rust?
You know, it's been tremendous to see it really find an audience on Amazon. It's, you know, been in the top two or three of Amazon series over its three-week release. And that's been so great to see the audience be able to find it on a new service. And, you know, 18 months later with a slightly different title. So we're just thrilled with the viewership for it so far.
How did this series get a second chance to rise, let's say, like a phoenix after Showtime canceled?
Yeah, I mean, I it's a good question, and I think it's a testament to the incredible show that Dan Futterman and Adam Rapp created, the great performances by Jeff and Maura. But I think, you know, even more importantly, and I loved our partners at Showtime and loved, you know, Gary Levine and Amy Israel and Jeff Speer, who shepherded this and supported us there. I think in the ecosystem that we were living in of so many outlets, so many shows, it just did not find the right audience at Showtime. And when we were, understandably, but unfortunately canceled at Showtime, as you have noted a couple of times already on the show, we talked with our team and decided that our passion for it was enough to continue to try to figure it out. And to be honest, the people at Amazon called us and they said, we love that show. Our audience is that show. They serve hundreds of millions of people and have an audience across, I think, probably all different types of demographics. But I think that sort of the more of the middle of the country, more of the heartland, was the type of audience that they were serving in a more effective way than our partners at Showtime. And they eagerly hopped on board. And I think that thesis has borne out and proved them right, that they could reach the people that this show is about and the show was made for.
When American Rust was on Showtime, the critical reaction was decidedly mixed. There were some people who really loved the show, and there were critics who said it's too slow, get to the point of the program quicker. It seems that this second season under Broken Justice, there's been quite a bit of turnaround among the critics, where the critics are saying, hey, this is definitely better. The show is now where it always could be.
Yeah, I think, where we you're always figuring things out creatively. You're always, figuring out the best way to convey your story, the best way to tell your story, the best way to tap into characters. And we really felt like we found our stride in the second half of season one, where the pace picked up a little bit, the tension picked up a little bit, and we were able to sort of take the tension and excitement and peril that our characters were in at the end of episodes and drive through into the next episode. And so when we started talking about a season two, we started talking about it with Showtime originally, but when we really dug in and started talking about it with Amazon, it was always Dan Futterman and Adam Raft's intention to sort of pick up the ball from where we left it in season one and run with it and put our foot on the gas and keep going. And, as people who maybe have seen the show know, we literally start season two with an explosion and try to keep our foot on the gas from that point moving forward. And I think, we also benefit a little bit from having spent that time digging into the characters in season one and really getting to know them. And so that when you are putting your foot on the gas and going forward with that adrenaline, that you know who these people are, you know who they are deep in their core, and you either love them or hate them or are rooting for them or understand all their peculiarities. And and that just ends up deepening those more tense adrenaline fueled moments as that we end up having in season two.
American Rust, Broken Justice, co-starring Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney, now in its second season and playing on Prime Video, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. Nick Nantel is the executive producer. He's also one of the key executives at the production company behind it, Boat Rocker Media. He joins us live from Studio City, California, this half hour, right here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. Wherever you are across the country, around the world, we appreciate you being with us this Friday afternoon for the promo about TV's current and future. Tom and I are with you live from the other side of the US of A, New York, 53 degrees at the bottom of the hour. And we want you to be part of the program. So what you got to do, it's so simple. Pick up the phone and call 646-652-2906 or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. We'll have our next episodes next Monday and Friday at this very hour, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio. Stay tuned to our social media platforms, X or Twitter, and Facebook to find out who our guest will be next week. That's next Monday and Friday, 3:30 Eastern Pacific here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And you also catch me on Wednesday mornings on Sports Newswire. It's the award-winning, or I should say it's on the award-winning network Sports Grid. And it's on 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. I do a weekly feature on the world of television sports. And, boy, that world is exploding. That's Sports Newswire every weekday, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. I'm on Wednesdays usually on the Sports Grid Network. That's available on smart TV sets, smart devices, Amazon Freebie, Local Now, and other multi-channel bundles. To catch some people up on the show who've never seen it, Nick, it's based on a great novel by Philip Meyer. It's all about a city in southwestern Pennsylvania, the Rust Belt, if you will. Daniels plays a police chief. He finds out that the son of the woman he loves, played by Tierney, is accused of murder, and pick it up from there.
Yeah, I think, you know, as you say, it's a show that's set in southwest Pennsylvania. Philip Meyer's novel is an incredible book, and season one is quite faithful to that story and to tapping into those characters. But picking up from that moment that Laura Tierney's son is accused of murder, the question in season two, or in season one, really is how far are you willing to go for love? How much are you willing to compromise your moral center, and what are you willing to do when the chips are down? And so that question sort of permeates throughout season one, where Jeff Daniels, who is the chief of police, who is, you know, in a position to carry out sort of justice for the town, does he help hide evidence? Does he help shield this young man from that prosecution? And I think that question permeates across the rest of the cast as well. Julia Mayorga is in the it plays Lee English in the show. Alex Neustadter plays Billy Poe, the young man accused, and her brother is David Alvarez, David Alvarez plays Isaac English, and she is put in the position of who does she throw in with, who does she protect? Does she protect Billy Poe, the man that she's in love with, or does she protect her brother, who you know, obviously is her brother, and they have deep history together, and so that sort of how far are you willing to go for love sort of cuts across all of our characters in season one.
Back in the 1980s, the great Emmy and Oscar-winning writer Abby Mann put together a program also dealing with life in the heartland, life in the Rust Belt, called SCAG. Carl Malden played a steel worker who had to deal with all sorts of issues on the job and off the job, as well as the society at the time. The show was critically acclaimed. It had issues in terms of production, and unfortunately the show only lasted 6 episodes after a 3-hour made-for-TV movie premiere. What does American Rust say about the Rust Belt of today in terms of the people involved in places like this city in Pennsylvania, and what are their aspirations, and how are they, those aspirations, lifted or not by what's happening?
Yeah. I think that's a really important question because, you know, when projects are come through Boat Rocker, when they come in front of me, the thing that it is always driving me and inspiring me is, can we be talking about something more than the plot of the television show? And so when we were starting to build American Rust, and when we were digging in with Dan Futterman and with Jeff Daniels, you know, Jeff lives in Michigan, and it's a book he loves, and Michigan is not Pennsylvania, obviously, but you know, he has always said from the beginning, like, this book and this show is about the people I live around. That live near me, that live in Michigan, that I interact with on a daily basis. And when Dan started to build the story, we always talked about, yes, it's kind of a whodunit. It's a whydunit, whodunit, with a, you know, murder mystery thriller at the center of it, and that's the drive, that's the plot, that's what's going to, you know, connect, you know, leave us on cliffhangers and all of that. But at its core, it's a story about, you know, the opioid crisis, the offshoring of American jobs. In a lot of ways, it's a show about the crisis of masculinity in America, and how can you be how can you feel like a man when you don't have a job and can't support your family, and perhaps your community is being ravaged by opioids. So I think that is always, you know, that was always at the forefront of the show we were making. It was always at the forefront of the show that Jeff wanted to make, that Dan wanted to make, and that we wanted to be supportive of. And I think just further to that, it was very important to us to make the show in Pennsylvania. So, you know, we made the show in Pittsburgh. Jeff was, you know, intent on doing that. Dan was intent on doing that. And Boat Rocker and Showtime and Amazon, as the production entities and the financiers, were supportive of that and worked hard to make that happen. So that not only could we be making a show about and for the Rust Belt, we could also be there and, you know, be providing, you know, 300 jobs while we were there, and working in that community as well.
Taking the SCAG metaphor once again, in an interview that was taped for the Television Academy, Abby Mann said that he based SCAG on a steel worker that he knew and got to know. In putting this series together and realizing this vision of what life is like here, did Dan and Jeff and other people involved, did they look at characters, people in their lives that they knew, either in the same kind of role, being a police chief or being a police officer in a place like this, or try to find characters that the author Philip Meyer had known in putting that book, that his novel together?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. You know, Dan's a former actor himself, he and Adam Rapp are just, you know, incredibly high-end writers, you know, and Adam actually has a show up on Broadway right now, The Outsiders. So just FYI for all the Broadway fans out there. But, they absolutely did, you know, were on the ground in Pittsburgh talking with law enforcement, talking with steel workers, talking with the people in the community, and then digging in with Philip Meyer as well, and trying to portray this, make this show in a way that portrays our characters in as an authentic way as possible.
Incidentally, you mentioned the musical version of The Outsiders. You cannot go by a subway station anywhere in the subway system here in New York City without seeing at least one poster for The Outsiders, the new Broadway musical version of the novel by S.E. Hinton, and, of course, the Francis Ford Coppola film that's become an iconic classic for all the people.
Great. Well, I love to hear that. I'm a huge fan of Adams, and excited for that show for him.
We are speaking with Nick Nantel. He is the executive producer of American Rust, Broken Justice, now playing on Prime Video, on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. He's also the executive vice president, one of the key ones, at the production company Boat Rocker Media. We're going to talk about what else Boat Rocker has in store, either currently or not too far down the road, before the end of this half hour. And we want to hear from you in our meeting minutes with Nick. All you got to do is make a call, 646-652-2906. Or use the chat room, SimonApple04, my name. And coming up in a few minutes, we will showcase our first classic trivia segment winner of 2024. We've already started to get the prizes out to this person. We'll find out who it is and the winning answer in a few minutes from now. So stay tuned for that. Nick, you got a lot happening at Boat Rocker Media. You've had a great track record of very unique shows, many award-winning, some Peabody winning, the case of Orphan Black. First of all, tell us about Beacon 21, which is coming back for a new season soon on MGM Plus.
Yeah, Beacon 23 was season one was on MGM Plus, just wrapped up a couple of months ago, and season two launched 2 weeks ago. Looking at the calendar right now, it's an incredible character-driven sci-fi thriller which basically essentially starts with two characters trapped together on a sort of space station deep in space a couple hundred years in the future, and the two people are lying to each other, and everything sort of unravels from there. Created by Zach Penn and Glenn Mazzara came on as our showrunner, and just incredible partners and really, really high end, starring Lena Headey from Game of Thrones and Stephan James. So excited about that. Something we were making while we were also making American Rust.
And by the way, Glenn was on our show last year when the season happened on MTV. And it's another example of a show that originally was supposed to be on another network, AMC. It was also supposed to be part of the Charter Communications Spectrum Originals project, where the show would also premiere first before AMC on Charter's cable systems across the country. And when the originals went out and AMC decided to turn to somebody else, MGM Plus picked up the show and did great with it. So now we're in season two.
Simon, I wish that this wasn't the version of the television business we were in. I would love to stick with our partners that we started with, but you know, it's also, I think, just a testament to what Boat Rocker's been able to do and use our full force of our distribution team and all of our partners internally to sort of be able to take a show that ultimately didn't have a partner who could continue on with it and bring it elsewhere and set it up there and find real success with it. So, hoping we don't have to do that in the future, but glad that we are a place that can do that, who can own our content, who can distribute our content and be able to operate in that manner.
Well, one upcoming Boat Rocker production that everybody I know and some other folks know that is coming to AMC, AMC Plus, and BBC America in June is the new spinoff of Orphan Black, the Peabody Award-winning series, Orphan Black Echoes. Kristen Ritter is the star. Loved her performance in Jessica Jones. John Fawcett, who co-created Orphan Black with Gary Batson, who is also directing and an executive producer on the new CW series Sight Unseen, whose creators and showrunners, the sisters Trubetskoy, Nico and Karen, were on this program a couple of weeks ago. I just saw the third episode, which Fawcett directed. Fantastic. There's a lot. How are things going in terms of getting that series on the air in June?
Yeah, so we have a release date on that show, June 23rd, which will be on AMC, AMC Plus, and BBC America. And we're incredibly proud of that. It's a show that is a part of and definitely within the Orphan Black universe, but it has a concept and a conceit that is a bit different than the original. And we're, you know, Anna Fischko developed that concept and really did an incredible job. And with John Fawcett directing and EPing and Kristen Ritter at the center of it, we're super excited about that one. And we'll be getting that out into the world very soon, and excited for people to see it.
And we are hoping we'll have, in one way or another, have people from Orphan Black Echoes on our show in June, because I can tell you this, I was a big fan of the original version, which won the Peabody Award. We had Graham and John on when they did the show. Tataz Maslany, of course, a sensational performance. And a lot of people are very, as I said, very buzzed about Orphan Black coming back in this this new set of episodes with Kristen Ritter, as I said, did a fantastic job with Jessica Jones, another Peabody Award winner when Netflix was doing Marvel shows in the key role. So what else is cooking at Boat Rocker? What else can we expect in the months ahead?
Well, I just want to say appreciate your support of Orphan Black and having Glenn on for Beacon and John on for Orphan Black previously, and excited to be back on, or to have some people back on to talk to you about Orphan Black. For Boat Rocker at large, we have a robust slate of stuff that we're working on, but the things that are sort of most pressing and I think are most salient for this conversation. We have a show called Palm Royale that is out on Apple TV Plus with Kristen Wiig and Laura Dern. That is a created by Abe Sylvia and directed by Tate Taylor. That was a when 5 years ago when I joined the company here, we had a deal with Laura Dern, and it's a based on a book called Mr. and Mrs. American Pie. And it was something we developed from the ground up with Laura and worked incredibly hard on for many years and, you know, over COVID and all of that and stuck with it and brought Kristen Wiig on, who is an incredible partner, incredible in the show and an executive producer on the show, and brought it to our partners at Apple. So that's out in the world as well right now. Staying at Apple, we have our show Invasion, which, season two came out last year, and we are in production on season three, right now, don't know the targeted release, but probably, sometime next year.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, Palm Royale, I just learned, in the latest Nielsen Top 10, is one of the top 10 original shows from Mega Content Services. So it's also great. I know that the reviews have been stunning for Palm Royale,
yeah,
and I hope
well,
we can get Invasion on. We've been trying to get that show on a number of years, and I'm looking forward to season three as well. So there's a lot cooking at your place, and could we maybe see a third season of American Rust down the road?
Yeah, I think as I said at the top, we're coming in the top three on Amazon right now, the data driven companies that we have are so great and supportive of the TV and film business are we're waiting to sort of make sure they have the full picture, and I know that I would love to do it, and Jeff would love to do it, and Dan Futterman and Adam Rapp would love to do it, and so we'd be thrilled to do it, and are talking with our partners about that.
And you can check out American Rust, Broken Justice for yourself on Amazon Prime Video, available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. For more details about the service and the program online, go to primevideo.com. That's primevideo.com. American Rust, Broken Justice, co-starring Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney, now playing on Prime Video, available on smart sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles near you. Nick Nantel, the executive producer of the program and also one of the key executives of the production company behind it, Boat Rocker Media, wonderful track record with such shows as Orphan Black, the upcoming Orphan Black Echoes, Beacon 23, now on MGM Plus, Palm Royale, now playing on Apple TV Plus, to great reviews and great audience reaction. Nick, thank you again for joining us. Boat Rocker continues to be on a roll, great television all over the place. We'd love to have you back anytime, and all the greatest with Jeff and Moore and everybody, with Dan, everybody at American Rust, and let's hope that the second season keeps on going for more.
Great. Well, thanks for having me, Simon. This is super fun.
Pleasure, Nick. All the way. Take care and have a super weekend.
All right. You as well. Bye.
Nick Nantel, Boat Rocker Media, Executive Vice President, Executive of American Rust, Broken Just on Prime Video, joining us live from Studio City, California. Coming up, we finally unveil our first classic trivia winner of 2024. You'll hear who it is and the winning answer after this word from Wild. Are you asked to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Give Wild a try. You know, Wild deodorant, which I use regularly, has natural ingredients that freshen you anytime for any occasion. It's easy to go on, it's not sticky, and it comes in a variety of great scent and color combinations, such as jasmine and mandarin blossom, or fresh cotton and sea salt. No harsh chemicals to fret about, and if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. And also, it comes in a case, which you put the refills in and out. You twist it at the bottom, comes out, and you're in great, great shape. So I got news for you. Go Wild today. And when you do, you can get a special discount, 25% off your first order. Just use the promo code SIMONAPPLE04. The promo code again, SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. And to do that, go to wearewild.com. That's wearewild.com. Use that promo code SIMONAPPLE04, and you get 25% off your first order. So take a sip from me. Try Wild. It is the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Coming up, first classic trivia winner of 2024. Who is it? And what was the winning answer? We'll give that to you after we pause near the bottom, near the top of the hour, I should say, for web identification. You're listening to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com, streamer.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. For all the latest news on what's happening in the sports world, check out the Richard Miller Report. I'm sure he's a lot to say about the upcoming Stanley Cup playoffs, the NBA playoffs that really come together starting tomorrow, and much, much more. The Richard Miller Report, tomorrow, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget, Best Beach Hour always comes your way 24-7 on YouTube. Welcome back to a little bit more of Tomorrow Be Televised, Friday afternoon edition. Simon, I'm with you live from New York. Welcome to those who are just joining us at the top of the hour. 53 degrees, mostly cloudy here in the Big Apple at the top. Happy to have you with us. For those of you that were with us over the last hour, hope you enjoyed our guest today, David Bianchi, the creator of Razor, that's spelled R-Z-R, the new science fiction TV series playing on the web, on the unique Web3 website, Gala Film. And just in the last half hour, Nick Nantel. He is a key executive at Boat Rocker Media, which has done a lot of great television over the years, and he executive produces American Rust Broken Justice, which is currently running on Prime Video on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. Before we leave you, we have a mea culpa to deliver, our third one in the last 2 weeks. But before we do that, let's do our classic trivia segment, and I'm happy to tell you that at long last, after nearly 4 months, we finally have a winner, our first one of 2024, and cue the trumpets. Our winner is Jeff Meyer, M-E-I-E-R, from Los Angeles, California. It's an L.A. day today. Jeff Meyer from Los Angeles, California. He is our winner. He heard our show on Monday, and after he heard it on podcast, he emailed me with the correct answer. And so Jeff is going to win a whole batch of prizes. We've gotten the prizes out over the last 24, 48 hours. He is going to win free Uber card from AMC Networks, free Redbox movie night courtesy of Crackle Connect, the American Express 2024 pocket calendar is coming his way. Also, two great music CDs. We've got the Chicago Greatest Hits with songs like 25 and 6 to 4, Feeling Stronger Every Day, and the Lifetime Women in Rock with performances by the likes of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Cyndi Lauper, Michelle Schacht, Laura Branigan, Linda Ronstadt, and more. Plus, two great books from Jeff Melvoin of Northern Exposure fame, Running the Show, Television from the Inside, and from David Craig, the professor at the University of Southern California, Apocalypse Television, How the Day After Helped End the Cold War. All that is coming Jeff's way because he answered this question. Complete the name of this 1965-67 NBC comedy series. Please don't blank, blank, blank. The answer, please don't eat the daisies, based on a great book by Gene Kerr that became a great movie starring Doris Day and David Niven. And the show, as I said, ran on NBC from 1965 to 1967. And because he got included in his answer, one of the two stars of that TV series, he is also winning The Deerfield Massacre, the new book by the author of Apple TV Plus's Manhunt, which just wrapped up its run on that mega content service, James Swanson. The answer for that was either Patricia Crowley or Mark Miller. And he got Patricia, also known as Pat Crowley, we're taking either first name, Patricia Crowley. So he got that answer. He gets the bonus prize, The Deerfield Massacre by James Swanson. Incidentally, Patricia Crowley is still living here in this world. She is 90 years old, or 90 years amazing. Mark Miller passed away 2 years ago at the age of 92. And you should know that Mark, Please Don't Eat the Daisies, was his second sitcom. His first, a number of years earlier, was the Daisy Blue production Guessword Ho, co-starring Joanne Drew and Frank DeCorva, many of you know as Wild Eagle on the very popular F Troop, which, like Please Don't Eat the Daisies, ran 2 seasons on ABC. So again, the answer to complete the title of this NBC series from the 1960s, it was Please Don't Eat the Daisies. He got the 7 prizes and the bonus prize, the book prize, for naming Patricia Crowley as one of the 2 stars of that series. So Jeff, congratulations. Thanks for participating. Prizes coming your way, and I hope you enjoy every single one of them. We will have We will have a brand new classic trivia question on Monday's episode. We're going to go for our second weekly winner in a row. So when you hear the question on Monday, if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. If your first correct answer, you will win. And we'll have at least one prize, maybe two prizes for you to kick the week off. And if we don't get a winner by the end of Monday, we'll post a question Tuesday morning on Facebook and X or Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWT. Remember, it's email entries only. If you are a previous guest or a winner on this program, you are not eligible. So once again, new question for you on Monday, going for our second weekly winner of row, second of 2024. It could be you. So tune in, and then when you know the answer, after you hear the question, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in, as Jeff Meyer was in Los Angeles, California, and that's why he is our first Classic Trivia winner of 2024. Again, congratulations, Jeff. Thanks for playing, and everybody else, play in to win, and of course, all the very best. And before we leave you today, we have to do something that we have done three times in the last 2 weeks, a mea culpa. This past Wednesday, we were going to do an early evening edition of our show. That's early evening on the East Coast, mid-afternoon on the West, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. And we were scheduled to bring you Adam Geiger, the Emmy Award-winning executive producer and cinematographer of Secret of the Octopus. That is the brand-new National Geographic miniseries, the third of a series called Secrets of, overseen by none other than James Cameron, the director of The Terminator, Avatar, and Titanic movies. Adam was all set to go live from Australia as our sole guest this past Wednesday. And 14 minutes before we were supposed to go on the air, in trying to connect to Blog Talk Radio, our wonderful Mary Poppins voice that we hear when we do our sound checks to let us know minute by minute how much we have time before we go on the air at the top of an hour. We heard that Mary Poppins voice say, for the third time in the last 2 weeks, I'm sorry, but Blog Talk Radio is experiencing technical difficulty. Or use the special thing on Blog Talk Radio's website to get in touch. That's right. For the third time in the last 2 weeks, we could not go on the air because Blog Talk Radio was experiencing a technical breakdown at their end. And for the third time in the last 2 weeks, being 2 weeks ago Wednesday, the following Monday, and this past Wednesday, for the third time in the last 2 weeks, we did not know that Blog Talk Radio was experiencing a breakdown and trying to resolve it before it hit us in the face when we were trying to get on the air. Result, Adam was not on the air. We were not on the air. We are now trying to reset Adam, who lives in Australia, and that's why we were doing the show at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, 3 hours later than we usually do a program live. We are now trying to get him on, hopefully, next week. Depends on his schedule. Depends on my schedule, because next week, of course, is Passover. So we have to work that out. I must say, it is absolutely amazing and astonishing that we are having this frequency of technical breakdowns originating from this very platform. What bothers me personally about this is the frequency and as much and maybe more the fact that we did not get a heads up. There was an absence of communication between this platform and yours truly about the fact there was a breakdown, so that we could know, hey, there's a possibility that your show might not go on the air. Maybe you should call and just let the guests you have, who their publicists know, that possibility existed. And there was an effort made to avoid that possibility happening. And as I mentioned on our episodes last week when I brought this up the second time around, if this was a radio station, AM or FM, if this was a radio network, if this was a radio syndicator like Westwood One, if this was National Public Radio, if this was SiriusXM satellite radio, if this was a podcast platform, that all of a sudden a breakdown like this happened, I guarantee you that all hands would be on deck from that organization doing two things. One, getting the breakdown handled. Two, communicating with everybody that needed communicating, whether it is listeners, the press, advertisers, radio station affiliates, et cetera. Hey, we have an issue here. It's impacting our ability to do our programs and you to hear them. We're working on the situation as best we can and as fast we can to resolve it and to get you back on the air. That isn't happening. And frankly, I find this unacceptable. Frankly, I find this inexcusable. Frankly, this has to stop. And that is why, once again, I am calling for a meeting with Blog Talk Radio Management to this handle, to find out what do we got to do to reduce this from happening in the future and to eliminate this as a frequent deal. Because as a frequent deal, it is calling into question the reliability and the consistency of this program and the credibility of this program and this platform to do what it's out to do. And I do not want to put myself in a position where the credibility of this program that I have worked to build up with the support and the assistance of the more than 1,000 guests we have had in this program over the last 17 years, the nearly last 15 years on this very platform, to put that in jeopardy. Because that's where it sounds like it's going. What's coming across to me is that we are on the precipice of losing this program on Blog Talk. And I don't want to, because I love this platform dearly, and I don't want to see this platform go down, because people are finding that if these situations occur frequently, to the tune of every few weeks we have a breakdown, or we sometimes have two in the same week, that the very existence of this platform is in jeopardy. And if I have to take this show off Blog Talk to go someplace else where we have a stable environment of transmitting this program to you, our listeners, I'm going to do it. I don't want to. I want to stay on Blog Talk. And that is why we need to have a meeting of the minds to, in reasonable terms, in unreasonable terms maybe, find out what's going on and what we do about it, and more importantly, to establish a line of communication for my show, for this program, for other programs on this very platform, so that when something like this happens, we know about it immediately, and we can do something about it. So I just want you to know that's where we're at, and I thank you, our listeners, and I want to thank our guests and the public relations people I deal with for being very understanding in light of all this. So, again, I deeply apologize on Blog Talk Radio's behalf for the issues we've had three in the last 2 weeks of not getting on the air when we're supposed to. And I thank all of you for being very understanding and being very patient. We're going to get this resolved. We are going to get this resolved one way or the other. So bear with us. Hang in there. Everything willing, we will be on next Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, and hopefully for a long, long time to come. And I hope also that other Blog Talk Radio hosts and producers, if they're experiencing the same thing, that they'll get behind this so that we can find a way to stay on this wonderful platform. Because frankly, I think it would be sad if this platform were to go away because it couldn't get its act together technically. And that's all I'll say for now. Again, I want to thank David Bianchi from Razor, spelled RZR, playing on Gala Film on the web, and Nick Mantel from American West Broken Just for being here on today's program. Like I said, everything willing, we will be back Monday and Friday of next week with guests, and we're working at some surprises also, by the way. And we may have an extra episode if we can get the episode reset with Adam Geiger from Secrets of the Octopus, which, by the way, premieres this Sunday on Nat Geographic, available on cable and satellite, natgeotv.com, and then the next day it will be on Disney Plus and Hulu. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on episodes you missed, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. And remember, you can check us out on podcast anytime you like. 46 great sites, including Audible, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Acast, Odyssey, Spotify, YouTube Music, Zencastr, Fathom, Luminary, and many, many more. And remember, you can also catch us 24/7 at our website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, from the great people at On Podium. That's tomorrowbetelevised.com. I'd love to hear from you. We had, I think, a very interesting show today. And I think particularly with David Bianchi, we got into some very interesting ideas about AI and Web3 and blockchain and how, at some point, it's all going to be part of the television universe. So I'd like to hear what you think. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, that's how you get involved in our classic trivia segment. New question, new prizes on Monday. You can also use email to email me about ideas for our ongoing feature, Show to Know. Is there a show you like that doesn't get enough attention? Well, we want to give it that attention, and we'll do it if we hear from you. So email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Give me the name of the show, where it's playing, why you like it so much, why you think we ought to showcase it on a national audio level. And if we use your suggestion on the air, you get the credit. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. So we'd love to hear from you that way. You can also check me out on social media. I'm on LinkedIn, book at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. That's Facebook and LinkedIn at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. However you communicate with me, I communicate back with you within 24 hours. That's our promise to you, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed on this program are those of the participants. They are not, say, those of Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tuner Radio, and other carriers of this program. Andy Tso is Blog Talk Radio's General Manager. Dave Sonnenberg is Content Executive. Website service provided by On Podium. Guitarist Bacon is our web coordinator. Marvy Televised was brought to you this afternoon by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural joint that's kind to your body and the planet. Remember, you can go to wearewild.com, use that promo code SIMONAPPLE04 at checkout. You will get a discount of 25%. That's 25% off your first order. For Tomorrow Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll be back, everything willing, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio, and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you're up to between now and then, make it safe, make it great for you and your loved ones, and remember, let there be peace on earth. Let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.